Hittites, you may remember, come from ancient Turkey, Anatolia. And the Hittites had a lot of little kingdoms just to the south of them in what we call Syria. And these kingdoms were dependent upon the great king of the Hittites. They were subject to him. And many of these texts involved covenants. And the covenants were written in a very clear and very organized fashion. And it so happens that each of these covenants with the great king and the little king had five sections to it. And so if you can count to five, you can learn the sections of the covenant. This is not rocket science. If you want to study rocket science, you go out to the fellowship room. There's a display out there of rocket science this morning. What they found out was the first section of the covenants was the identification of the king making the covenant. Fancy title, the preamble, the identification of the covenant maker. And the second section was what's called the historical, the past historical relations. It has the technical term of the prologue. And it goes like this. The king who's making the covenant with a contemporary king says, "When your father was on his throne, he did thus and so for my father. And when my father was on his throne, he did thus and so for your father." So the idea is the past historical relations are recited to engender faithfulness in service. And so if a war comes, King A will come to help King B, or if a war comes against King A, King B will send his troops to help, and so forth. The third section, which we can become most interested in when we look at the Ten Commandments, is what is called the stipulations, the laws, what the servants or the servant king or his kingdom is supposed to do. And then come two final sections, the blessings and the curses. Now, I'm using the word curse not in the sense of swear words, but in the technical sense of bad results bring bad consequences. The blessings, good results, bring benefits. And the curses, bad results bring bad consequences. And the final section of the covenant is the witnesses. And so in these pagan covenants, the witnesses were the gods of the two kingdoms. And the gods of kingdom of the Hittites were observing the covenant and guaranteeing that the stipulations of the covenant would be carried out. And the gods of the junior king would said his gods would see that these were faithfully carried out. So these are the five sections of the covenant in the ancient world. And after Professor Mendenhall saw how nicely this was outlined, he went to the biblical text, and it became more clear about how biblical covenants were made. You see, the biblical people were part of the ancient world, and they followed many of these same patterns. Now, Professor Mendenhall has what they call paralysis of the hand. He seldom gets anything written. He doesn't have a physical paralysis. He just has a hard time getting words down on paper. So the University of Chicago invited him to come down and give a series of lectures about these covenants that he was studying. And they knew that he would not write them up, and so they recorded them, transcribed them, and printed them. And as he was giving them, one of the professors there said, "That sounds just like the book of Deuteronomy." And that's true. You know, we could spend a morning here and go through the book of Deuteronomy and see how it fits the pattern of the covenant. But we want to start with the basic covenant, and that's the one that Joey has been preaching about. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Now, you remember these five sections I just told you. The first one is the introduction of the covenant maker. And so at the beginning of Exodus 20, God says, I am the Lord your God. Actually, he uses his personal name there. So here's the identification of the covenant maker, Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, not the God of the Moabites or the Ammonites or the Edomites, the God of the Israelites. And what did he do? What are the past historical relations? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt? Who brought you out of the house of bondage? Now, what kind of a reaction was this intended to get in the hearts of the people? You have done so much for us. We want to be your loving and obedient servants. We'll do what you ask us to do. We'll go where you want us to go. And so what follows then are the stipulations, and there happen to be 10 of them. And you know them very well, and Joey's going to continue his series of studies on them. Now, there are more commandments here, and they cover Exodus chapter 21 to 23. And these are what are called case law. You see, the Ten Commandments give you the principles. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. But what if a man steals a sheep? What's his penalty? Well, he's supposed to return the sheep, and then he pays 3 shekels of silver. There's a penalty involved. And this case law follows in Exodus 21 to 23, and it gives you all of these cases of applying the Ten Commandments. And those who write commentaries on the book of Exodus call this the covenant code. So we have the Ten Commandments, the principles of the law, and the covenant code, which is the application. And that's exactly what these ancient covenants do. They give you the main laws and then the subsidiary laws underneath those. Now then, the next section, if you remember, is the blessings and the curses. So if you'll go to Exodus chapter 23, where we finish these subsidiary laws, we find the kind of culminating instructions. But if you obey his voice, it's talking about the angel that will lead the people, and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. And my angel will go before you to bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And then verse 25, but you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water and remove sickness from your midst. And there shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. And I will send my terror or dread ahead of you to throw your enemies into conclusion and confusion, so on and so forth. What is this? Blessing and curses. Blessing upon you and curses upon your enemies. So here we have, thus far we have the 4 sections of the covenant. The introduction of the covenant maker. I am the Lord your God. What he's done for them. Brought them out of the land of Egypt. Brought them out of the house of bondage. The stipulations or the principles, the laws, which we have 10 of, and then the amplification. And now the blessings and the curses. And the final section is the witnesses. And so in chapter 24, we have the case where Moses then builds an altar. And by the altar, he puts up 12. This is chapter 24, verse 4. He puts up 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. These are stones of witness. You see, the problem with the pagan covenants, Israel couldn't cite pagan gods or polytheistic gods for their witnesses. They had to have some substitute. And so there are the stones of witnesses, or your words this day are witness against you, or this sacrifice, or this song, Deuteronomy 32. In the future, you shall sing this song as a witness against you. And so Israel has their witnesses too, but they're different than the pagan witnesses because they're adapted to the monotheistic society of ancient Israel. So there they are. There's the 5 sections of the covenant. The introduction, the covenant maker, past historical relations, stipulations or laws, blessings and curses, and the witnesses. Now, What happened in the course of time, they would break the covenant, and then the covenant would be made again. And so we have a number of cases where the covenant was renewed in the Old Testament. And for example, in the time of King Hezekiah, the covenant was renewed. And the time of good King Josiah, the covenant was renewed. Going back a little earlier, Joshua chapter 24 gives a covenant renewal ceremony. And it follows this pattern, if we had time to study it. But I want to look at what the prophets did with the covenant, because we read the stipulation out of one of the prophets this morning. I want you to turn to Micah chapter 6. And we look at a very famous verse. This verse is so famous that when Jimmy Carter took the oath of office to be President of the United States, he used this verse in his inaugural sermon. He hath told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, some of you might have watched Pastor Bohr, Stephen Bohr, last night on 3ABN. He was discussing Elijah, and it was an excellent sermon because it represents what the prophets were all about. And the prophets were not innovators. They were not bringing new doctrines to Israel. On the contrary, the prophets were reformers who aimed at bringing the people of God back to the covenant of God. And so Elijah is talking to the people about how they've worshiped the Baals, they've stoned the prophets, they've broken the covenant with God, and he is calling them back to the covenant. So you see, in the 19th century, when the idea of evolution became current, the idea of evolution was applied to the Bible by liberal scholars. And the idea was, well, Abraham, he was kind of primitive. He worshipped rocks and stones and trees. And then Moses, he got to be a little better, but he worshipped other gods too, but he had his main god. And we really reach the height of evolution with the prophets, because there we find ethical monotheism. One God, and these are his rules, laws to obey. So that's the evolutionary model. On the contrary, the biblical picture is exactly the reverse. The ethical monotheism comes at the beginning, and then the people go downhill. And as the people go downhill, the prophets come as reformers to call them back to the standard that Moses gave them at Sinai. So the prophets were reformers. And here you can see it in Micah. We'll read, because this gives you the setting for this verse that we have read. Starting at the beginning of chapter 6. Hear now what the Lord, or Yahweh, is saying. Arise, plead your case before the mountains. See, the mountains are summoned as witnesses. And let the hills hear your voice. See, they're the witnesses too. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord. See, it's a law case. And you enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. Even with Israel he will dispute. You see, the prophets serve the function of the district attorney for God, who brings the case against his people for breaking the covenant and going off into idolatry and immorality and everything that followed with the Baals. And so Micah is here saying, look, God has a case against you, and he's going to bring this case through me. I'm his lawyer, and I'm calling the mountains and the rocks and the trees to be witnesses, because the pagan gods can't serve as witnesses. And now that you know the sections of the covenant, you may see what he's doing. My people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and ransomed you out of the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And then he talks about Balaam and Balak. And then he talks about the camp at Gilgal. so that you and might know the righteous acts of the Lord. What is this? Why does he go through all this history? Because he wants to show what God did for his people, and that they are unworthy to break their covenant because God has done so much for them. This is the historical prologue. So the prophet uses the introduction, who made this covenant, who's calling this law case, and then he shows the past historical relations. And then come the stipulations, and it's very interesting to see what he does here. First, he does it in the negative. What are the stipulations not? What is the negative? With what shall I come to the Lord and bow down myself before God on high? Shall I come with burnt offerings? With yearling calves? Does the Lord delight in thousands of rams? In 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? These are rhetorical questions, and the answer to these rhetorical questions is no. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want a lot of sacrifices. He doesn't want rivers of oil. He doesn't even want your firstborn son as a sacrifice. What does he require? What's the essence? What's the heart of the law? Now he gives it to you in the positive. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with your God. This is the essence of the stipulations of the covenant. This is what God desired of his people in Old Testament times. And this is what he desires of his people today. Now, one final point comes from the New Testament. And there's a number of places we could look at in covenants, but let's look at the book of Revelation, the letters to the seven churches. Joey preached about these a month or so two ago, so you should have them somewhat in mind. As you remember, there are seven of these churches. And the letters to these churches, each one of the letters follows a pattern. And the pattern is the pattern of the covenant. There's a formula. You know, formula, you have certain calculations and you plug in certain elements. And each one of these letters to the seven churches starts with a description of Jesus. And there are seven different identifications of Jesus. Jesus is the covenant maker. Jesus introduces himself at the beginning of each one of these letters as the covenant maker. And then he says, I know your works. Seven times he says that. I know your works. And then he goes on to recite some of them. Sometimes there's good works. Sometimes there's bad works. But he knows your works because there has been a past historical relationship between Jesus and the members of his churches. And then come the stipulations. Repent. Be zealous. Do thus and so. Buy of me ointment for your eyes, or gold tried in the fire, or a garment, a white garment. And then comes the blessings. If you're faithful, you will experience thus and so in the final kingdom of God. That's the blessing. And finally, who's the witness? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here's the Old Testament covenant, recycled in these letters to the churches. Jesus introduces himself, the preamble. Past historical relations, I know your works. Stipulations, be zealous, repent, do thus and so. The blessings, I will make you a pillar in the house of my God. And the witnesses, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You can follow that pattern through all seven letters. So You only have to know 5 points to know what those 7 letters say. Now, the question is, how do you apply this covenant to yourself? Well, there are many titles for Jesus in the Bible. Someone has collected 50. I think there's probably more. And you may like a certain one better than another. Maybe you like him as the Good Shepherd. Maybe you like him as the Redeemer dying on the cross. Maybe you like him as the Victor coming out of the tomb. Or the many titles used for Jesus. The Rose of Sharon and so on and so forth. That's who he comes to you as. And then he says, I know your works. You see, we have walked together before. I'm sure you've heard the story of the little boy and his father were walking down a muddy sidewalk. And you could see the footsteps. Here's the big steps of the father and the little steps of the little boy. And then they came to a place where the footsteps for the little boy disappeared. And then they reappear. And the question is, what happened there? And the answer is, the father took him by the hand and lifted him over. You see, past historical relations. What Jesus has done for you. If we had time, everybody has a story about what Jesus has done for you. That's why you're here this morning. But he says, there's more. I have stipulations for you. Yes, keep the Ten Commandments, but keep them because they're written on your heart. And if you do, you will receive blessings abundant forever and ever in my kingdom to come. And the witness is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to you. Because the Spirit is speaking today to your heart, to your mind. Can we do anything less than give him our whole hearts? The Israelites pledged all that the Lord has said we will do. But they did it in a kind of self-confidence and they soon fell. But if we rely on the Holy Spirit, and if we rely upon Jesus, he will bring us through, he will lift us up, he will carry you on until the great day when he gives you the final blessing and you enter his kingdom. May God bless you as you live the covenant life with Jesus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.